Let us pray. Yes, O Lord, holy are you. Holy is your most holy name. Holy is your Holy Spirit. And holy is our salvation as we relate to you. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord, for bringing us to this house of worship. And we beseech you to be with us as we seek to worship you in this hour. Amen.
Please stand.
Oh, of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Let the congregation be seated. At this time, I'd like for the boys and girls to come forward. I have something about which I want to talk to you, okay? Come right on up here. Good. Got more coming. Well, welcome. Hi. How are you? Well, boys and girls, I want to tell you about a certain animal that lives with us in our house and outside our house. This animal is called a cat. You all have a cat? How many cats?
Six.
Just six?
Just six.
You want another one?
No.
I didn't think so. Well, you can't have our Molly. Now, our Molly is a character. She's got a mind of her own. She doesn't like women. She loves men. But now, if you're a woman and you start petting her, you're likely to get swatted. If you persist, she will bite you. So we don't like that. Yeah, ow, is right, yes. But now, you have to get ahead of Molly, because if you don't, she'll get ahead and stay ahead of you. So, she's outside, and it's getting darker and darker and darker. We want to bring her inside because she has a tendency to fight, and we have to pick up the veterinary bills when she fights, because she doesn't always win. Or she may win, we don't see the other cat. But we can call her. We can say, Molly, Molly, come here. And she may or may not come. But what we do is take our food. This is her food. It is Fancy Feast with ocean fish and salmon and accents of garden greens. I'm certain the cat wouldn't eat it if she didn't know there were garden greens in it. But anyway, this is to appeal to us owners, not to the cats, I'm sure. But anyway, this will bring the cat running to see us. Now, when that cat hears this, she knows that if she comes, she'll get what's in there. And so we've seen her run to the house to get her food. Now, why do you think she runs to the house to get the food, but if we were to call her, Molly, Molly, she may or may not come. You know, they want me, I may not, I'll come when I'm ready. But then when we, oh my goodness, I'm going to get fed, and she runs. Why does she run for food? Do you all know? What makes this animal run for food? Do your cats do that? Others just watch. Okay. Waddle along. Does anybody know why the cat runs to get the food?
Because they're hungry. They're hungry and because they like the food. So when a cat likes something, they run to get it. And if you stroke the cat and the cat likes being stroked, what happens to the cat? What does she do if you stroke her and she likes it? She purrs. She purrs. Now, this is called love from an animal's point of view. Food and stroking her. She likes that. Now, you know, we're a lot the same, boys and girls, especially since God is love and God wants us to come to Him. So God is always giving us His love, and when we get used to receiving it, we'll run to God whenever we see or hear that love. Always remember that God wants us to come to Him, and He will give us things to bring us to Him. Would you keep that in mind? Because the cat knows we do too. We want to be with God. So let's have a prayer. Dear God, thank you for loving us so much that we want to run to be in your presence. Help us in every way to be the people you want us to be and to love one another even as you love us. Amen. And thank you for coming up.
Amen.
That's good.
Can you pray for my cat, Lynx?
What's the matter with your cat?
It's gone blind in one eye, and it went to the other eye.
Oh, I'm sorry. We need to pray for his cat. It's gone blind in one eye and it's going to the other eye. So let's keep this in mind. Now, this is very serious because if you know your animals, you're attached to them, they're members of our family, are they not? Of course they are. Please remember those lists that we have published in the bulletin, our prayer list here. Also, the insert that Tommy referred to earlier, information about the fifth Sunday offering to the Holston Home for Children. Folks, I'll tell you, that is one of the most important, most far-reaching, and the best, one of the best of institutions of its nature that's around, period. And they are really good. People come from all over the country to copy their procedures, to ask what you do if a child is like this. Also for placement services, adoptive as well as foster care. We have this as part of our institution, Holston Conference Institutions. So please give as you are led. These are free will offerings, not part of a budget. It's only there if you would like to give. And please know 100% of your gift will be used for the purposes outlined in the literature. So let's pray for this mission. It is important. It is our Holston Conference mission, and it is a tremendous institution. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? Let us pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we turn to you in our corporate prayer this morning to praise your most holy name, to give you thanks for bringing us here in the midst of a wonderful spring rain shower, to be set apart for this hour to worship, to have our minds focused heavenward, and to give you our attention. We are grateful for these opportunities to worship, because it is exceptional in that we come together as your people. We enjoy each other's fellowship. We enjoy your fellowship too. But Lord, we confess that at times we haven't come to worship. We haven't made time during the day or the week to set aside to listen to your word, to be inspired by your reading your word, and by being still and knowing that you are God. As a result, our souls are distorted. We move around in such with such frantic behavior that we hardly know if we're coming or we're going. Lord, we confess that we make lists, daily lists of things that we have to do, and we make too much to do, and there's not time enough to do it, so we close the day being frustrated because we've set ourselves up for failure. Dear Lord, you know, because Jesus came to show you what it's like to be human. You know, O Lord, that being human is tricky at best and impossible at worst. So we want to confess to you today our many shortcomings, our many examples of being overextended, the frequent times that we haven't taken the time to be holy and to speak often with you. We confess, O Lord, that we've carried prejudices and points of view and simply have attitudes that are not completely complementary, much less to ourselves and certainly not to you, O God. At times we simply wallow in disgust because we pity ourselves so much that we don't let you in to sort things out. Please bless us with all of our challenges that we can indeed be the people you want us to be. Dear God, there are many areas of our lives that we simply don't want to look at because they're so horrible. We recognize the wars that are going on, especially in the Middle East. And it's one horrible thing after another. We really want to tune it out, but we have great, great influence and many high stakes as to what happens over there. So give our state's personnel, our politicians, give them wisdom to listen to you first, and then with your help, make efforts to sort things out with the conflicts that are around us. Lord, we recognize by simply looking around us that there are many poor in this country. People simply do not have enough to eat. Make us mindful that we can do what we can do here in our own community and in our own area to help folks who are hungry, who do not have adequate shelter. Open our minds and open our pocketbooks that we can contribute to and find ways to assist people who are less fortunate than we. Dear God, there are many other issues that we want to call to your attention. There are people who are sick, people who have marginal prospects for a completely well existence. There are people who are bereaved, and we know who they are, and so do you, O God. There are folks who have broken families and broken communities, and they have difficulty because of the shattered relationships. Help all of us who are hurting, and let us be pastors to each other. Bless us all and keep us, we beseech you. For it is in the name of Jesus that we pray this prayer, and he taught his disciples to pray it as well. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. We come to the time in our worship service where we have the opportunity to give back to God God's tithes, that is 10% of what we have and what we earn, and our offerings. If you want to make an offering to God, it's over the 10% that is His anyway. So let the ushers come forward. With grateful hearts, O Lord, do we return these tithes and offerings to you. Use this money to further your work in this area, in the special mission offering that we receive today, and in all other places where you can make it do some real good. Amen.
Thank you.
Our scripture today is found in two places in the New Testament. First of all, from Romans chapter number 8, verses 12 to 17. And then secondly, from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. So let us hear the word of the Lord. First, from Romans. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. And then from John chapter 3, hear these verses. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born from water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Amen. And here end these readings from God's most holy word. Let us bow in prayer. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday. And today is the day we complete the cycle in the church year of holy days, of feast days, of seasons to remember certain themes. Today, Trinity Sunday, we deal with one God, but three different persons of that God. One God, but three different persons of that God. Now, this should be relatively simple to all of us because there's not a person here that's not multiple personalities, multiple things to different people, to ourselves. Sometimes we say, well, I've got to put on this hat now and do that. So we go to the office, if we go, and we've got yard work to do. And then we take off those nice office clothes, we put on our yard work clothes, and we have stopped being our professional person, and now we are the yard man or yard woman. Except my uncle. He wore a tie all the time. He was a preacher too. And when he came to do yard work, he just put a coverall on, and you could still see his tie as he mowed the yard. So to each his own. But we have different roles to play. I am a father. I am a husband. I am a son. I am a grandfather. I am a pastor. I used to be an athlete. I used to be a student. I used to be, etc., etc. You get my drift. The same is true with God. Here is God, one God, but yet there are three different persons, three different personalities, three different ways that God operates, and God can be recognized. Now, Jesus, in another part of John's gospel, said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." So here's the Son speaking of himself, but also saying, if you've seen me, you've seen God. You have seen me, you have seen the Father. But always remember, not all of the Father, because Jesus was locked in space and time. His heavenly Father, the person to whom he prayed, is eternal and not locked in space and time. He is beyond space and time. So now we've got the Father, we've got the Son, and then last Sunday we celebrated Pentecost with the coming of the Holy Spirit on those disciples who were scared, who didn't have a leader, who didn't have direction, who didn't have a keel or a rudder on their ship. And yet the Spirit came. It caused them to stand up and say, yes, I have purpose, I have direction, and I have strength, and I have power. This is the activity of the Holy Spirit. And what's keenly interesting is that the Holy Spirit, or God in spirit, if you wish, the Holy Spirit has been around since the beginning of the world. If you look in Genesis 1, you will find that the wind came. The wind, the Spirit, and it blew the chaos into order. It caused differences. It caused changes. The Spirit of God came upon the prophets and caused them to speak in certain ways. We have this in our Old Testament, and now we have God understanding spirit, but he's got his creation misunderstanding what he expects. Now let's think about this. It's called a plan of salvation. God is love, we have found, has been revealed to us. But love has to have an object. And just like our whole old stray cat that found a home with us, landing in clover the way she did, she knows where her food is. We shape the bag, and here she comes, lickety-split. Now, God tried many ways to get the object of his love, namely his creation. Love must take an object. You know that. You just don't say, I love. You've got to have an object. I love to have Sunday lunch, Bill, so get me out of here on time. I love something. God so loved the world. Now, this sometimes sounds strange because the world is full of bad things, disgust, brokenness, sin, horror, death. But God still loves it so much that he sent his son. This is a key to the plan of salvation, the key to the Trinity. Because those three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are in relationship with each other. Do you ever talk to yourself? Do you ever reason things through inside your brain? Or sometimes talking, and you'll just have a wonderful conversation trying to sort things through. Well, that's how God is with Jesus, the Holy Spirit. They talk. They commune. So here we have the Son who goes into the mountain to pray. Ever wonder what Jesus was praying about? Why he went up to the mountain by himself? There are ways of thinking that he was telling God what it is like to be a human. Because God gave the Ten Commandments, he sent his prophets, and still humankind would not allow him to love them. Still humankind would get their back up and say, I'm going to be in charge of my life. Thank you, God. I just don't need you at all. And if you think about it, we're a lot the same way. There are areas of our lives that we want to control, and we do not want God's interference because we know that God would cause us to change our behavior if we let God in that area. We know that. So God is trying to figure out how to get to us humans, and that's why he sent Jesus. Second person of the Trinity. I want you, Jesus, to go down there and show them what it is like to follow me. What it is like to have a God-like life. What it is like to have God love them. I want you to show them that. But also, God told Jesus, I want to know what it is like to be human. And even though I created humanity, I don't know what it's like because I'm spirit. You, Jesus, you be flesh. You go down and you live a human life. So now let's look at the life of Jesus. Here he came. He was born. He was born to a little girl who wasn't married. Now, sometimes we say, oh, isn't that a wonderful miracle? But we forget to think of what happened to Mary and Joseph and Jesus. They were ostracized because those people in that day could count too. And they knew that Jesus came a little quick. As I've told you before, you check it out in Leviticus and you will find that Jesus would have been ostracized. He would not have been accepted or acceptable. But look at it this way. How many people do you know that are not acceptable? How many children do not have anybody to play with that are healthy or not healthy? These folks can identify with Jesus' plight. So Jesus came for the unwanted, came for those who were not lucky, came for those who needed love. He identified with them. He was one of them. And yet, at his baptism, what did God tell him? You are my son. God claimed him as son. And I'm very well pleased with you. Thank you very much. Why did Jesus go to pray? I think, among other things, to get insight from God, but also to tell God what it is like to be human. I think he prayed when Peter denied him because he knew what it's like for human beings to deny God. I think he prayed when Judas betrayed him, one of his good friends. And he could then pray and tell God, this is what it is like for human beings to be betrayed. And God could understand. In other words, Jesus is a mediator between God and us humans, but also between us humans and God. God had a firsthand understanding, experiential in basis as to what humanity is up against in trying to weave our way through the stumps or the minefields, pick your metaphor, of living. So St. Paul puts it to us, your flesh, but your spirit. And if you choose things of the flesh, if things of the flesh become your be-all and end-all, you are flirting with destruction. You've had your chances. You've chosen badly. But if you choose the spirit, you have chosen eternal life. Eternal means forever. It also means a high quality of living. It lets you be released from the pulls and the tugs of this flesh existence and temptation. So we have this choice. And every day, we have a chance to choose. What will we choose? Now, sometimes we get all covered up with things of this world, so much so that we become like this world and scattered all over our workplace. We can't focus, that's the word. We can't do that because we haven't done what Jesus did and get away and be quiet and get focused. We are given eyes to see and ears to hear. That spirit is everywhere. Do we see it? Can we see it? Or are our eyes clouded with this world's issues and problems, so much so that we begin to disintegrate? The question is, do we want to be saved? Do we want to have integrity of soul, of mind, of spirit? Do we really want this? Then we have the chance with the leadership of the Holy Spirit to choose. We can choose things of the spirit or choose things of the flesh. It's ours. And this business of choosing is exactly what God gave us. When he made us in his image, he gave us the freedom of choice. We are godlike. With that description, we can choose. So bad things come upon us, we get to choose not whether the bad things have shown up, but we get to choose how we're going to respond to the bad things. Are we going to respond like being bad too? Then evil has eaten up inside of us. So bad things come, are we going to choose to take the high road? Are we going to choose to witness to Jesus? Or to witness to the evil one that's already upon us and eating us up. If we wish to be saved, we're to work on our integrity of relationship with God and not the integrity of relationship with the flesh. Every day is a struggle. How many of us have lived in heaven lately where all is right with our souls, and we can sit back and see the Spirit of God actively moving through us and around us? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it simply tremendous? On the other hand, how many of us are living in hell? We simply are beaten up, and we don't know what to do, and we don't know where we can go for help. Continually, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is reminding us to come to Jesus. Come to the one who loves. Find those individuals, find that church, find that group of people who feed you, who sustain you, who love you and who will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. This is a broken world, but God loves it. He loves it so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And at Pentecost, he sent the third person of the Trinity, that Holy Spirit, to show us the way to go home. Now, what we've got in the Trinity is God in relation with himself. Relationships are of utmost importance in living a life that steers us away from destruction by living after the flesh. How are your and my relationships? Can we see how communication uplifts us? Do we see how prayer together strengthens us? Of course we do. And that's why we're here. That's why we share with each other. That's why we have prayer lists. That's why we pray for each other. And that's why we have times when we say, yes, God has been in this place. This is none other than the house of God. When we have those occasions that God has touched us profoundly. So the doctrine of the Trinity, it's a very functional doctrine because God is always working. And he gives us the pattern of relationship that he, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have. We are to have the same thing in our relationships. And we walk together through every age and stage in life. We give help and we seek help. And in this way, God shows us how to come home to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our concluding hymn is, Every Time I Feel the Spirit. There may be those individuals who'd like to come about the altar rail for prayer. Perhaps there are others who'd like to unite in the fellowship of the church by a profession of faith. If you would come forward as we sing this grand hymn of the faith, we'd be very pleased to honor your request. We'll stand as we sing. Organist is back, or our pianist, depending on who's sitting at the instrument. Trish Hansard and her husband Dabney are back from Florida. They have two houses, and next time they've asked all of us to come and, no, they haven't. But anyway, Trish, it's great to have you at the organ and keyboard, and you two really know how to make music. Thank you all very much. In choir, you're right on it again, aren't you? Thank you. Now, will you receive the blessing? People of God, go forth. go forth and learn to recognize even more closely the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit goes before you, using you and me to proclaim and to witness that God is alive, God is well, and God offers redemption for the brokenness of this entire world. Go forth. The world has plenty of issues and problems, but God has the answer in Christ. Go and be faithful witnesses.